Good work, all. Good work. I know in some traditions, actually, the celebration of Lord's Meal, which we'll enjoy here in a few moments, is part of their regular weekly habits. And so for us, we sort of have it scheduled out. And sometimes, though, I think the idea of being spontaneous maybe is something we ought to think about, only because to be reminded, even like the two songs, the hymns we sang, to be reminded that in the messiness of our lives, I mean, I don't know about you, but this last week in our nation's capital was just like, this is crazy stuff. And yet, it's at the same time, we're always reminded that it's always never quite what it's supposed to be. That the story of Scripture reminds us from Genesis to Revelation, and then even what we live into, that life is complicated. And so with that, the idea of how do we lean into. So we've been in this series that we're sort of like, I'm trying to figure out how to straddle the two of them. So we've been talking about if, which really was incredible faith, and that's where we launched with our fun movie, The Incredibles, and a nice picnic, and just even though it was a dreary day outside, it's like we still had fun, right? Amen. I mean, we can do that without worrying about the weather, and it's a great space that we have. But then today we're leaning into, and for the next number of weeks, we're going to be talking about the miracle of mercy. And so in that, it's one of these things where I'm thinking about, actually, like last week we talked about generosity, and we really dove deep into this idea of stewardship and tithing, things that, like, who really wants to talk about that? But with that, let's just look at the sort of the promo video for what these next few weeks are going to look about, like, talking about mercy.
What is mercy? I forgive those who have fallen. I help those who are hurting. I'm patient with difficult people. Mercy is when I'm kind to my enemies. Mercy is love in action. I need to be merciful because God is merciful. The miracle of mercy.
So I don't know about you, but I'm excited about this because of what it's going to talk about. And even this week, I was stretched. I was invited into a conversation with an individual. I won't go into all the details, but this individual is HIV positive. I was in Kenya with some folks that were HIV positive, and so I know how to handle it. But I was just, and it was interesting as I was talking with this individual, first of all, they weren't sure whether or not I would accept them. And it's like, okay, I think I understand this. But it was just an amazing dialogue with them, because their life has been filled with all sorts of pain and brokenness, all sorts of messiness where people haven't forgiven them, where people haven't shown mercy. And so I just think it's interesting as we lean into the series, at least in my own personal journey, God put somebody in my life that he's asked me to walk alongside with just to help be an encouragement. And I'm going, okay, what am I supposed to learn from this? Because I tend to be one who wants to hang out with just about anybody. But in this case, it's like, this is really, and I even came home and said to Melinda, it's like, okay, should I be concerned about this? And it turns out that this individual, they get picked up HIV because of a relationship with somebody. And they didn't know. And so how their life has radically been changed over the last decade, and how as they are in our community, no one wants to talk to them. Nobody wants to offer them just a conversation, a cup of coffee or a cup of cold water. And so I don't know, I'll be sharing more about that, because I just find it interesting that God shows up that way, because I don't really believe there's anything like coincidence. I think God's very, and as a good Presbyterian, I have to buy that, right? I have to be in this idea that we're going to believe that God's in the middle of it. But this morning, we're going to lean into talking about the blessings of generosity, sort of the second part of last week's message. And this idea of just being generous, and generous with our time and our talent and our treasures. And if you remember, I pointed this out, but just to go back, because some of us sat through this. When I came here, you know my background is fund development. I mean, I literally raised millions of dollars for many good programs in our community. And we leaned into a new understanding, trying to move away from this idea of stewardship, which is important, because it is this idea of stewarding, taking care of what God has given us, but to really talk about how do we be generous. And so even like last month when Ryan Nicholson and I met, you know, Ryan came to talk about Destiny Rescue. We were at Bueller's. And I don't share this other than just this was just kind of crazy. So I saw a person at the Bueller's who I haven't seen in a long time. And she worked at AU in the catering department. And I was ahead of her in line. And then I know the clerk. And so She was there with a young person that's helping to do some work on her farm. She's retired now. And so unbeknownst to her, I went ahead and paid for her coffee. And actually, I just left enough so I knew it would be enough for her and her worker friend, and a little blessing as a tip. And what was crazy is 2 weeks ago, I get this thank you note in the mail. Now, I know I don't see her on a regular basis. I haven't seen her in years, but I just think it was amazing that she's like, you totally surprised me. And so to be able to lean into that kind of generosity, which is sort of where I want to go this morning, looking at this idea of spontaneity, at the same time to be reminded that when we lean through the series with the Donovan family, we sort of moved from watching this family that's high capacity, they had the nice cars and they had the nice house and they had all the right things going. And, you know, as we walked with them for 3 years, we saw them move from being where they were to where they became, which is like, no, we're going to really create margin, much like when Ryan was here with his family to sort of share this idea that we want to be spontaneous. And so the series went living, loving, and leading. And the idea is that the one impacts the other, the impacts the other. So this year, as we're leaning into our own stewardship understanding, our own sense of generosity, I want to drill down and really talk about what it is that we do, because this is what we do. We want to be a people who are generous. And so even this week when the PW and deacons came in and the ladies went through the stuff downstairs, there's a spontaneous act of generosity for some of you that if you're looking for some things, there's a couple tables out here that you ought to check out. And maybe if it's not for you, but maybe it's somebody that you know that can be blessed by them, how cool is that? Because I want us to see this morning, living in the culture we live in, that being generous really isn't something that people do. Everyone gives, and you remember this is from last week, but not everyone is generous. Just because you give doesn't mean you are a generous person. In fact, if you look at your worship notes, I've got that sort of there from last week to remind you that giving and being generous are two different things. And I really want to talk about the second part, which is about being generous. And you'll remember last week we looked at this graphic, sort of talking about the circle. Remember, this is the idea that too many of our folks live in a sense of scarcity. They live in a sense of we don't have. And why is that? Well, because we get in the circle. But then we really want to be people who live in abundance, where it's not that we consume, it's actually that we give. It's not that we lack, it's actually that if we're willing to risk, that God will multiply. God will give in generosity at levels that we probably haven't seen before. And so this morning I want to lean into just three ideas about what it means to be an abundant giver. And how being an abundant giver, it comes out of, and this is where I was last week, but just want to remind us as we go into this series on the miracle of mercy, that the reason that we can even think about this is because our God is merciful with us. Amen? Does that preach? That's something we want to know, because I can tell you, sitting with guys at the jail or this other individual I'm sitting with, it's just amazing to me their view of themselves. And even Lauren Daigle, who's a name some of you may know, she's a contemporary Christian artist. She has a song out right now that's rocking the airwaves. It talks about how she doesn't think she measures up, how the voices in her head say that she has nothing to offer, that she shouldn't invest in others. And so as we think about that, as we think about even whether or not you're going to be here tonight, and I know some of you have some scheduling issues, that just that's life. We're just, even in our small context, we're busy. So I want to just begin, as we go over these next few weeks together, to really understand how God wants to be with us. So the first point in the outline is this idea that being abundant givers is all about spontaneity. And so I use the story of our friend Ryan Nicholson and his family. I mean, you think about where I go back a year ago, where I invited him to come in and talk about being a good neighbor and talking about how he and his family were giving up everything to move to a place to create margin. And then what was crazy is you folks, you amazing people, because of him being here, beyond what you're already doing week to week and the faithfulness of supporting Linden Road and its work, you actually ended up giving him and Destiny Rescue about $1,700. Now, that to me is just crazy, and that to me is what I want us to understand. That's spontaneous giving, and we need to be able to be in a position to do that individually and even corporately. And so even the idea of what we do as a church, why your ongoing generosity needs to be something that's consistent and something that where you sort of leverage. And that sort of is this idea, because if you remember the story of the Good Samaritan, remember that story where the guy's walking down the road and he gets beat up? and he's laying there for all just a bloody mess. And, you know, the priest comes by, the rabbi comes by, and they ignore him. They actually, it says that they walk to the other side. But then the Good Samaritan comes along, and those of us that understand that time and place, we know that that's an amazing story, because Jews and Samaritans don't have anything to do with each other, because Samaritans were seen to be half-breeds, and so they didn't measure up. And yet what's interesting is, and this is where the story goes very quickly, is the scripture where what happens, you know, this guy, the Good Samaritan comes along, takes him to a hotel, you know, and then gets him fixed with people. And what happens? It says, the next day he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper and said, take care of him. When I come back, I'll reimburse you for whatever extra you spend. Now, part of that is spontaneity. It's the idea that actually he had some cash in his pocket. Now, you know, today's culture, that gets complicated because people don't carry cash in their pocket, literally. I mean, and I'm so grateful for those of you that do the online giving piece here at the church, because that actually helps us to be consistent in just meeting the regular needs of the church. And if any of you want to think about that, you haven't, I know the act of writing the check is an amazing thing, but at the same time, it could actually help, because when you're not in the building, it actually, you know, it creates a little bit of angst as we think about our budget. But you see, when we're spontaneous, we only are able to give in a little bit, in a very limited way. And so I want to move to the second point, talking about abundant generosity, with this idea of being strategic. And that's sort of where we find ourselves today, in just even as we talk about, you all got a letter a week or so ago that mapped out where we're going a little bit financially, with a budget for the stewardship campaign, the generosity campaign, and also being reminded that there is a challenge grant that's been laid out. And actually, your property committee and finance voted and moved with some good initiatives on Wednesday night, to say starting October 22nd at 8 a.m. And if you have any interest and you want to do some demo work, you're looking to work out a little angst, you know, frustration, that we're going to take this space here. And because of your generosity, we're actually going to raise the floor a little bit, create just a place so that you can see maybe better, actually, so that when we have amazing talent in the room like Danny was last week, that you can actually see him and not have to look around him. Others to see what's going on up front, and actually leverage what Sheila Holloway is doing with our music program. And yet, the idea of being strategic is, many people say, I wish I could give more. Well, you can if you plan for it. And so part of the conversation we want to lean into, because I want to suggest that everyone has a giving plan, but most people don't have a good giving plan. So to be intentional with that. And some people actually give when they can, but we need to be reminded that Jesus gave so that we could give more, literally, so that we can give more of our time and our talent and our treasures. And like I said last week, you know, if you're saying that you want more out of my time, Jesus is saying yes. And the idea was just in the conversations this morning coming into this room is that just our lives are so busy and so hurried, the idea of creating margin. And yeah, just like I had a conversation, it's the idea, if we're going to say yes to something, that means we're saying no to something else. And hopefully in saying the yes and the no, that the weight that's there, that we understand that there's something that matters. And I don't know about you, but I do know that when I get to my last day, whenever that is, and I hope it's a while from now, but I don't want to regret, like we just had a conversation, one that I did yesterday. It was actually a story in the Ashland paper about a gentleman who was crowned the king at the Loudonville Fair. And in this season of life, he said that if he could do anything over again, he would spend more time with his family. That he regrets in his pursuit of his vocation as a professional person, that the one thing he regrets, yeah, he said, I took my children fishing, but we never went camping. And I get that, because camping could be a complete mess, right? I mean, it's like, oh my goodness, the kids might fall in the pond, or might get, you know, just what all? It might rain, you know, there might be a bear. I mean, whatever. There's all these things that you got to think about. And so yet in the midst of that, if we're strategic, there's things. And so like my friend, I don't want to be at that person. I don't want to be that individual, because I actually know his children. And that maybe explains a little bit about what the children have had to push through their adulthood, knowing that life is messy and my life is complicated. And so last week we started with this idea of drilling down, because we really haven't talked about it much in these stewardship efforts over the last 4 years, but this idea of the tithe, of really talking about the 10%. Remember, I shared this verse out of Malachi, which every pastor shares when it comes to this time of the year. What? Bring the full tenth into the storehouse so that there may be food in my house, God says. And then what does he say? Read it with me. Test me. In fact, I reminded you last week, and it's again, I want you to be reminded this week, is that the only time in Scripture where God says, test me, is here. To say that if you'll give, I'll give also. If you'll risk, I'll bless that risk. And so back to that the two circles, the idea of living out of an abundant lifestyle. And I will tell you, even yesterday in the mail when I came here to do some things, there was another envelope. And an envelope was someone who doesn't go to church here, just saying, I want to encourage you. And please use it where you think Pastor Tom it ought to go. Well, okay, that was totally unexpected. And yet I know this individual, and I know the reason why that envelope came is because they're a strategic giver. They're a strategic thinker. And they also believe in this idea that God will bless. And so he goes on to go back to the scripture for just a second. Let's go back to the second half of that. He says what? See if I will not, what? Open the floodgates of heaven and pour out a blessing for you, what? Without measure. The King of the universe, the God in the heavens, the Lord of hosts says that if we will test him and will give to him and his work, he will actually bless it beyond measure. And yet, you know, why is that? Why is the tithe that matters? So back to this was actually a repeat from last week, but I think it's so important that we look at it. So these three points. Why? Why do we want to tithe? And to be reminded, I shared this with you last week, statistically, the average person in America, the average family gives 2.8%. And if the average household income is above $100,000, it actually goes down to 2.4%. So there's a lot of margin between what God is asking and what we do. And that's the tension in all this. So what does he say? Why? We want to do it because it teaches us to put God first, that we're going to trust him, that we're going to trust in his provision, that we're going to live off the 90% because that's better than living off the 100% that we take, because God is faithful. God will show up. And I can't tell you how many times, even yesterday was one more time, where his faithfulness in the midst of our walking, in the midst of not knowing, he's like, no, I'm going to just encourage you one more time. Going to encourage you in prayer. And why do we want that to happen? Because it builds our faith. It moves us from trusting ourselves to moving to trusting who God is. And then the third and the most amazing thing is then it provides an opportunity for us as a church to do amazing things in the community. Things that we're already doing. You know, last week I showed you the amazing things. Just to remind you of what we've just done in the last year. Students going to Chicago, students going to a leadership conference, the times we've served downtown, the meals that we've served there. But it's interesting that in this, it has to be strategic. It has to be not just willy-nilly. There has to be an intentionality. And so that's why we have to take time in our journey together to pause on this and do it. At least this year, we're doing it a little bit differently. But look at these. It's the same verse twice in Scripture, but I just am so encouraged by it. Because what does it say out of Isaiah? Be a noble person, but a noble person what? Plans noble things. They stand up for noble causes. And just because I wasn't so clear about what is nobility? I mean, what is it being noble? We talk about the good and the great and the honorable, this idea of being noble. And went to another version, and what does it say? But generous people do what? Plan to do what is generous, and then they stand firm in what? Their generosity. So the reality is most people plan to consume. And all you have to do is, you know, like a couple weeks ago when Apple announced the new iPhone, you know, the people were standing outside the Apple store to get their newest, nextest, bestest thing. Bigger, better, shinier, all that. You want a new tech toy. You want new shoes. You want a new gadget. You put a phone on layaway. But you see, we need to understand that as people who are of faith, we're not consumers. We're contributors. We're contributors because God has given for us. And so in a few moments, we're actually going to be reminded of that as we do what we call the meal of remembrance, the memorial meal, that idea of what Jesus, to be reminded to us that what he wants to give us is his sons and daughters. And you see, when we give more, we can give it strategically. Generous people plan to do what is generous. They stand firm. And then here's where it gets complicated. The third point is that it's sacrificial. The amazing story that we always use about sacrifice is this that comes out of Mark chapter 12, where Jesus sat down, the scriptures say, opposite the place where the offerings were put. Think about this. Jesus, and to be reminded of this, because I don't think we are, is that Jesus taught regularly in the temple. Not just the times we read about it in scripture that are recorded, but he actually was in the temple. And so he's in the temple and he's watching. He's sitting there watching what's going on. I mean, think about that for a moment this morning as we were all gathering and Jesus was here. What would he be watching in our own enterprise? And so what does he see here? They were what, doing what? He watched how the crowd dropped money into the treasury. Many rich people were putting in large sums. And then a poor widow came and dropped in two tiny coins worth very little. And then Jesus stops and he summons his disciples. So I'm guessing that if you're part of the tribe, they're the 12, Jesus, this is an interesting word, he summons, which is like, it's like mom calling. It's like, hello, you know, I want you right now. So Jesus summons them and says what? He says to them, truly I tell you, this poor widow has put more money into the treasury than all the other people here. For they all gave out of their surplus, and he goes on to say, but she gave out of what? Out of what? Her poverty. They gave out of their wealth, but she gave out of her poverty. She put everything, all she had to live on, she puts into the offering. And so it's interesting that Jesus wants us to pay attention to this. And you know, what's really interesting is that Jesus knew, I mean, because he's the God-man, so he knew what she was giving. And he watched this. And yet, what did he do? He didn't stop her, right? So let me ask you this. When was the last time you gave sacrificially? When was the last time that wasn't just strategic giving, but where you actually said, okay, this is going to cost me something? Whether it's your time or the talents that you have or your treasures. How many times will you turn through this and think through it's about being sacrificial? Because you see, Jesus didn't stop this woman from giving when he could have. And so it's interesting that when we think about this, currently we know that we have a challenge grant in front of us that's right alongside trying to figure out how to create a budget for the next, for the 2019 budget year. And so we're doing two things, and we know that the struggle we've had, all of us together, is trying to be faithful in that. But yet we need to be reminded that in God's faithfulness to us, as he's promised through Jesus in the meal, that he continues to show up, and he wants us to be reminded in this verse from Malachi that we just looked at. So he wants us to test us in that. That we want to give because we want to give out of spontaneity, and that's an amazing thing to do, because I know when Ryan showed up, and I know the season we were in the church, I think we were talking about, and I remember Joe Pratt's is like, Ryan isn't even done, and you're coming up going, we got to do this. We got to help rescue women in India, because that's what we do. At the same time, strategically, we have to be in a place, too, so that when we want to help Syrian refugees or we want to help people in Houston that have recovered from a flood or now in the Carolinas from a hurricane, it's like, how do we do that? Because in doing that, that means we're not going to do something else. And yet part of what God is calling us to, if not everything, is those kinds of things. Because you see, this is what we do. This is what God's people do. They show up and they invest in the kingdom. Here's what we do, and we do it very intentionally, because we give strategically and that's why we do the giving campaign, the generosity campaign, is because we need to know where we're going. At the same time, we need to also be stretched in that, because we want God to show up. We want God to show up in a way that allows us to see that it's not about us. It's not about the check I wrote or about the time I invested. It's because it's way beyond that, because of God's generosity. Paul says this in Philippians when he's talking about his own sense of receiving generosity. He says, but I have received everything in full, and I have an abundance. This is actually at the end of chapter 4, his book to the church at Philippi. And what does he say? I am fully supplied, having received from Epaphroditus what you provided, And what does he call it? He says it's a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. And then he says what? And in my God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in who? Jesus Christ. And then he goes on to say, now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. You see, it's about those things. And so one of the things we've tried to do over these last couple years is to try to give you a better understanding, to be transparent, to give you. And so we've used this bucket model, if you will. That's actually last year's budget. This week, you'll be getting in the mail a further narrative. But the idea of really trying to help you see that when you're generous to the church, when you invest in the life of the church, it's more than just Tom's salary or the light bill. That there's good things that we do. And it takes generosity to remind you that one of the pictures I showed you last week was this amazing time we had on Palm Sunday with amazing talent of many people here that was a blessing to our community. Now, I can tell you that on that Sunday, the giving wasn't equal to what we spent to make that Sunday happen, and that's not why we did it. So we need to know that if we want to be relevant to our community, it's those kinds of things that we need to be doing more of. And in order to do more of that, it means that we need your further investment in that. And yeah, it's about spontaneity, and yeah, it's about strategically, but then it's this idea of sacrificial. And that's where it gets complicated. But we also know that in understanding that God's promise to us that if we will test him in that, that in every circumstance, he will show up. If we'll test him at what he wants to give to us by giving back to him what he's already given, because you see, we're just stewards. We just get to hang on to it for a little bit, whether we're talking about our treasures or we're talking about being parents or being grandparents. This idea that we only get it for a moment and then it changes. And so we have to lean into that. And so as we move into celebrating this amazing meal, I just want to jump to sort of the thought for today from this idea of understanding the miracle of mercy. And it's just the last thoughts here I have. So it's the last slide. What is mercy? It's undeserved forgiveness and what? Unearned kindness. Now, it's not unearned niceness. The word is kindness. Now, I don't know about you, but the word kindness is kind of interesting because in that word, because we say that God is kind, we need to be reminded that there's some stretching that comes in that. That God is a kind God, but in order to do that, there's some things so that even as we celebrate this meal, we have to be reminded that the reason why we have to celebrate this is because we're all facing eternity in a place that's without life. If we don't have this relationship, if this meal doesn't mean something, if we don't know Jesus in an intimate way, then there's just darkness. So as we began this morning, as we sang these great amazing hymns about my hope is built on nothing less. It's built on the work of what Jesus did for us. That it's his resurrection. It's the fact that he pushed through his brokenness. It's the power of the cross that is like this amazing thing that we sit here every week and look at. And sometimes I think, I know I do, take it for granted, but to realize what that means, you know, that 2,000 years ago, that was a symbol of death. It was a symbol of power over people. And now it's actually the symbol of life. It's something that says to us, no, you can have a relationship with the God of the universe, and he can provide for you in ways that you've not even thought of. My life verse is John 10:10. It's that idea that Jesus says that he's come to give us the most amazing life we can possibly understand. At the same time, in that same verse, and it depends upon the translation, but there's also a phrase there that says, but the evil one comes to kill, crush, and destroy. And so when we think about our generosity, we it's like, well, I want to hang on because I might need. And it's like, no, that's God's saying, no, I'm going to take care of your need. And as I've said, you know, for many months now, really what it comes down to is not about the stuff. It's about you and your relationship with Jesus. And so that's what we get to settle in this morning. And so as our response, I just want you to remain seated. There's going to be it's a new song. The lyrics are going to be on the screen. But I want you to see, because the song talks about the new wine. Now, we're memorializing a meal here that's ancient. And that even when Jesus took it with his disciples, it was actually a meal that he celebrated about something else even that was even older. It was about the rescue of the Israelites from the Hebrews or from the Egyptians, and moving them from where they were in bondage to where they became free. And so for us as Christ followers, we look back to this going, oh my goodness, this is where Jesus says at this meal, the Passover meal, here's our opportunity to be reminded of what the blood stands for. But also, I think there's something in this to, for us to be reminded that there is, that each of us are being pressed like wine, like grapes into wine. And so in that, we need to understand that this is true about all of us, is that one of the lyrics in the song is that we don't bring anything into this world, and we're not going to take anything out. And so the question is, in the midst of our life, if this is our life, what is it that we're doing? What is the tension there of how are we giving? How are we giving of our time and our talents and our treasures? And so as you feel moved, you remain seated, but you can sing along at some point if you'd like to. But I just pray that these words will encourage us as we think about what it is that Jesus has offered us. So please join.